it's I don't think we can say too much good morning every morning. It's not too good. It's been pretty difficult. We're in Yeshayahu chapter 17. Chapter 17. I think we should begin with Pasuk 9. The fact is that the chapter is talking about the fall of Damasek. Now, Damasek was Aram. Remember, going back to chapter 13, all of these chapters are the chapters in which Yeshayahu talks about what's going to happen to the nations of the world. And he begins with Masa Babel, what's going to happen to Babylon. After that, he talks about Moab. He talks about Plishtim, all of those nations living around Eretz Yisrael who had caused so much suffering to the Jewish people. In chapter 17, which begins with Masa Damasek, the prophecy that he gives about Damascus, which was Aram, which ultimately fell before the forces of Ashur, Assyria became the ascendant power. Together with the fall of Aram, he also describes the fall of the 10 tribes, because Yisrael, which he calls Ephraim, had entered into a treaty with Aram, and you will recall back in chapter 7, the two of them are the ones who attack Yehuda. So here it is, he says, Damasek is going to fall, and Aram, which is Aram, is going to fall, and Ephraim, the 10 tribes are going to be sent out into exile. Maybe we'll even begin with Pasuk 4, and from there we'll be able to pick up a thread. And it will come to pass on that day, Yidal Kavod Yaakov, the honor of Yaakov is going to be impoverished. Yidal can either come from the word poverty stricken, penuries, dal. Yidal can also be from the lowered a dali. You know what a dali is? Huh? A bucket that you lower into a bear, into a well. Yidal kavod Yaakov, the honor of Yaakov will be lowered. Umishman besaro ye roze, and the fat of his flesh will become thin. Now, what it's really describing is a mighty power that is brought down in size. Vohaya keesov katsir kama uzrao shibolim yikso. We learn these psukim. He describes a person who's out harvesting. And he takes a bunch of sheaves of grain in his hand and he cuts them. So what it represents is the idea, it's ready to be cut. It is ready to be cut. And he just takes it in his hand and he cuts it. As one gathers in the harvested grain, uzro'o, and with his arm, shibolim, the sheaves, yiktsor, he will cut. It's going to be like one who gathers sheaves of grain in the valley of Rephaim. By the way, the Mepharshim are not clear about why Emek Rephaim is used. In other words, what was it about Emek Rephaim? There are those who say that Emek Rephaim was once a very fertile place, and therefore there was a great deal growing over there, and that was a symbol of a place in which a lot is growing, and here comes the harvesting. V'nisharbo olelot kinokev zayit, and what will remain when he's talking about harvesting? So remember, as we said, harvesting represents something that its time has arrived. Its time has come. Harvesting, of course, is a good time that arrives, but when we're talking about a kingdom that falls, it means the death knell has been sounded. The time has come. And so too the zayit, the olive tree, in order to get the olives off the tree, they would bang the tree. V'nisharbo, what will remain, will be olelot, single single olives can okay zayit like one who beats the olive tree. Shnayim shloshar gargivim v'rosh amir. Two or three olives at the top of a branch. Amir is the very height of the top of the tree. Arba chamisha, four or five b'si'ifeha podiyah will remain on the fruitful branches. Nu'um Hashem Elokei Yisrael, says the God of Israel. In other words, the end is coming for them as well. Bayomahu yish'er ha'adam al osehu ve'inav al kadosh Yisrael terena. Following the suffering, following the punishment, there will be a change of heart. And Vayomahu, on that day, yish'er ha'adam al osehu, a man is going to turn to the one who made him. Where did we have the word yish'er? Huh? Very good. In Bereshit, it says that God accepted the sacrifice of Cain, of Hevel, but not of Cain. El Cain, el Hevel, ve el minchato to Hevel, and his sacrifice, Sho'or. Ve el Cain, ve el minchato, lo Sho'or. He did not turn. Bayomahu, Yish'er, in other words, to turn. And therefore it means to turn and to depend on and to lean on and to trust. That Vayomahu Yishe Ha'adam Al Oseh, upon the one who made him, Ve'inov El Kadosh Yisrael Terenah, his eyes are going to look and they're going to see the Holy One of Israel. Ve'lo Yishe El HaMizbechot Ma'aseh Adav, and he's not going to turn to the altars which he made with his own hands. It means it will not be to the idols that he has created. And as we always say when we talk about idols that man has created, it can include a wide variety of the idols that man has made. It doesn't have to necessarily mean a little statue over there. By the way, I begin to think that some of the worst idols are ideas. We worship ideas, and you can't get the idea out of somebody's head. You can't. In other words, the idea becomes so entrenched for whatever reason a person has. So I'll give you the example. And it's not because I want to be political. You know that I've turned a new leaf and I read the Haaretz. It doesn't... As Geitnish Dur HaTog, every day there are at least one or two lead articles that make it very clear that the source of all of our problems, there's only one source, the sefers. Now, the idea has become an idol. You create an idea and you get locked into it, especially when you hear the number of slogans,
we're not going to rule over other people. Hakibush, mashrit, the conquest.
This ideas become such. You can't undo or remove the ideas. So here as well, below Yishael, is the Chot Maaseh. He made it with his own hand. He created the idea or the idol, and he can't get it out of his system. But here they're going to reach a point that man is not going to turn to the idol, to the altars that he had made. Vasher osu etzvotav lo yireh, he's not going to look at that which was made by his fingers. V'ha ashedim v'hachamanim, which include the ashedim, trees that were worshipped. Chamanim, what different kind of idols that represented the sun, whatever idols they were. So we say that idols include a wide variety of everything from objects to human beings that we've said very often. Worst idol of all is man. In other words, we accept either the leadership of certain people, or we believe in our own ability to resolve all problems. Yom Ha'avu, on that day, we're talking about the day upon which the fortresses of the 10 tribes are going to be destroyed. Ephraim is going to be destroyed. That was in Pasuk 3 of this chapter. Pasuk Gimel said, the Nishbat Mivitzar Me Ephraim, there will be destroyed fortresses from Ephraim, Umamlacham Yidamesek. I'm reading Pasuk 3 because that is the key Pasuk of the chapter. Because it talks in one breath about the fortresses of Ephraim and the kingdom of Damesek. These were the two who had joined forces against fellow Jews. So the Abish Tachapit, you understand. So it says on that day, now back to chapter Pasuk 9. Hayomahu, on that day, the day that the fortresses of the Ephraim are going to be destroyed, Yihiyu Oreimu Uzo, the cities that were his strength. Ma'oz is also another kind of a fortress. The cities that were his fortresses will be Ka'azuvat HaChodesh V'Hamir, forsaken or left or empty, like a forest or trees, nothing there, no life there. Asher Ozu Ibnei B'nei Yisrael, that were forsaken, Ibnei B'nei Yisrael, this is very interesting. What he's reminding them is, when you came in, and it seems that from here we learn something that we didn't learn in Sefer Yoshua, there were places in Eretz Yisrael that when Jews came in the days of Yehoshua, the population had fled. No connection with anything in our time. But it seems, and by the way, the Gemara does say, of the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael, Hagir Goshi Pono L'Africa. When Yehoshua entered the land, so is the Gemara says that this was the halacha. The halacha was that Yehoshua had to extend a hand of peace to the people in the land. But there were conditions. And if you accepted the conditions, peace would be made, and they would have to be a population that would be under Yehoshua. But they also had the choice of leaving. And one of the seven nations was the Girgashi, who left. Which means that there were cities that were left with nobody there. And where do we know this from? It doesn't say it in Yehoshua, but here it says, Asher Ozbu, that they forsook Mipnei B'nei Yisrael from before the children of Israel, when the children of Israel came into Eretz Yisrael. That's what they're going to look like now, 700-800 years later, when Jews are going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael. V'haytosh mama. That part of Eretz Yisrael is going to be desolate. And the reason is, Kishochach Elokei Yisheich, because you forgot the God who is your salvation. I like there's something poetic here about the word Yisheich and the word Yisheh that we had in Pasuk 7. You know who's Yisheich, your salvation? The one upon whom you should be Yisheh, the one whom you should turn to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yisheich, and therefore you should turn to him. V'tzur Ma'uzeich. Now there may be some song that you know that is taken from here. Tzur Ma'uzeich, the rock of your fortress. Mozachort, you didn't remember. You didn't remember him. You forgot the Lekei Yisheich. You forgot him, you didn't remember him. Okay, therefore, because of that, Tifi Nitei Na'amanim, you are going to plant Nitei Na'amanim. Na'amanim means the very delicate, very delightful things that you planted. You know, there are beautiful gardens that people plant. But you know what's going to happen with all of that beauty that you planted here? Uzmorat zor tizra'enu. It's going to be cut down by the stranger. The stranger is going to come and he's going to take it. And what will be therefore is beyond nit'eich, on the day that you plant, soon after your planting, tisagsegi. Sigsug means to grow and to develop. Ubapoker, the next morning, Zareich Tafdichi, the seed that you plant is going to burst into bloom. But what's going to be the end of it all? the end of it all, after all of this great success, made Kotzir b'yom nachala u'cheev anush. Neid comes from the word na vonad. It's going to wander away. It's going to be gone. The kotzir, the harvest, in other words, you've planted something. It grows. It blossoms. What do you look forward to? What are you hoping for? You're hoping that when the time comes, you're going to be able to harvest it. But you know what's going to happen when the harvest is going to come? It's going to be gone. Neid katsir biyom nachala. By the way, this is a difficult chapter. So if you get this chapter straight, you're going to know Tanakh. That was quite a promise, but I mean it. Biyom nachala. Yom nachala, it's going to move. Yom nachala, very fascinating. It's going to be the day of nachala. Nachala here comes from the word nachal. A nachal is a river that overflows. So here it is, biyom nachala. It's like a flood comes and washes it all away. Ucheev anush. Unfortunately, the word anush we hear quite often on the radio these days. The pain is going to be anush. Anush means the kind of pain or blow. She'ein lo refu'ah, that there is no healing for it. Anush means mortal. Hopeless. Anush. Finished. I have a feeling that the word anush is like a takeoff on the word enosh. Like turning around the man. Man is no longer man. Ke'ev anush. So here he has described what's going to happen to Ephraim. What's going to happen to the enemies of Israel? He now returns to talk about what's going to happen to the enemies of the Jewish people.
Hoy hamon amim rabim. Hoy.
The masses of many nations. Kahamot yamim yehem oyun. You have to listen to the poetry over here. Kahamot, like the tumult of yamim, of seas, Yehemoyun, they are going to roar, the roar of the seas. They make a lot of noise. You should know there are a number of phrases here that should bring back to mind the last shiur that I gave before I went off was the Chumash shiur that week. I learned chapter 83 in Tehillim. Shir Mizmor La'asof, Elokim al Domiloch al Tachrosh val Tishdod Kel, Kihinei Oyevecho Yehemoyun. Your enemies are going to roar. Al Amcho Ya'arimu Sod, against your people, they're going to conspire. Same thing, Kahamot Yamim Yehemoyun, like the roar of the seas will they roar. Ushaon Lumim. Shaon is the great noise that's made by many peoples. Kishaon Mayim Kabidin Yishaon, like the noise of mighty waters will they roar. Lumim Kishaon Mayim Rabbi Yishaon. He's describing the great noise, the great tumult that represents great strength. And you know what? It's all going to disappear. La'umin, the nations of the world, Pisha'on, Mayim, Rabin, Yishon. He's really, watch what he's doing over here. Because for emphasis, he is repeating again the last half, the second half of the pasuk before. They're going to make a lot of noise. The nations of the world are going to make a great deal of noise. They're going to leave the impression of great strength. And in the final analysis, it will be nothing. it will be nothing. It will all be destroyed. V'go'ar, v'go'ar bo, God is going to get angry with them, yell at them, roar at them, v'nos mi merchak. The masses are going to flee. They're simply going to flee before God's roar. They are all going to flee. Go'ar can also be when a tidal wave. Remember, how has he described the noise of the nations? The noise of the nations is the mighty waters that are roaring. But there's a mightier roar than all of that, and that's the tidal wave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. V'rudaf kimotz harim lifnei ruach uchigalgal lifnei sufa. Do you remember in that chapter 83 that we learned? What do we say in chapter 83? That God should chigalgal lifnei ruach. Remember we talked about the tumbleweed, that they should all be blown away. So he says v'rudaf. It will be pursued. The nations of the world will be pursued, or they will flee. Kemotz harim lifnei ruach, like the chaff of the mountains before the wind. Huh? Motz is the chaff that comes off. Give me another word. The cover of the grain comes off the bran. Flies before the wind. That's how they're going to be dispersed. V'uchigalgal, same term we had over there. Chigalgal is like the tumbleweed that flies away lifnei sufa, before the tempest or the tornado. If I'm not mistaken, we said the Malbim says a sufa is a, that ruach represents a wind that blows in one direction, and the sufa is a wind that blows in another direction, so that they're going to be blown in one way and blown in another way, and all of the great noise, the tumult that's made by the nations of the world will be meaningless. And Le'eg Erev, remember we've been talking about Bayom Ha'hu. Bayom Ha'hu. Now Bayom Ha'hu of course does not have to mean a day. It means an era, an epoch. It may be a shorter or a longer period of time. And if we talk about Bayom Ha'hu, it doesn't mean that everything is going to happen in one 24-hour day or 12 hours from morning until evening. It's going to be a period. And in that period of Bayom Ha'hu, there's also going to be the Le'et Erev toward evening. As that period in history comes to an end, and you know what's going to happen? V'hinei ba'loha. There is going to be terrible, terrible confusion. Remember, all of the, and balaha also mean great fear, and here we're talking about the nations of the world who have oppressed the Jewish people. That's what's going to happen. On that great day, in that great period of time, all the noise, the cacophony, the sounds of the nations of the world, and it can very well mean, you know, or everything that they have to say about us, right now we're not in anybody's favorite book anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Huh? No, Micronesia. That's the one. Micronesia. Don't confuse Mauritania. We are most probably at one of the low periods. We never had any great high periods, but we're certainly not. That's the noise of the world. They all make a lot of noise. But at the end of the day, there's going to be great, great fear. V'tedem boker. Now you see, we've gone through a whole day. In two psukim, three psukim, he's describing the whole day. At the beginning of the day, you hear the sounds of the roar of the nations. Comes the great tidal wave and the great wind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends. By evening already, there's great fear in the world. And b'terem boker, and before morning arrives, einenu, they are not anymore. Finished. Ze Chelek Shoseinu VeGodal Levozezeinu. This is such a powerful pasuk. This is the portion for those who trample upon us, or those who rob from us. But I like Shoseinu. Where do we have the word? Huh? V'hoyu limshisa shosoyech l'chadodi. V'hoyu limshisa shosoyech v'rachaku kol mivaloyech. Yosis olayech elokoyech kimsos chalson atala. V'hoyu limshisa shosoyech. Those who rob you will be robbed. Those who leave you bereft will be bereft. That is going to be chelek, the portion that's going to be meted out for Shoseinu, the Godol, and this is the destiny, Levozezeinu, for those who, Bizar also comes from those who spoil us, those who've taken away from us so much. At the end, by morning, it'll change. What morning are we going to? The Terem Boker, even before morning already. That means before the sun rises on the next day, the nations of the world will have received their just desserts. Chapter 18 is a continuation. There are amazing words over here. And you just have to hold cup, but we're going to make it through. Hoy edetz tzilzal knofayim. Asher may Eva lin hare kush. Eretz tziltzal knofayim, a land in which you hear the sounds made by the wings of locusts. Tziltzal knofayim. Knofayim are the wings, and there's a sound, and the word like a cricket sound. And the word tziltzal is a word that sort of, in a sense, tries to mimic this sound. And the sound of the locusts, asher mi'eivel l'nahare kush, that are on the other side of the river of Kush. Kush is Ethiopia. There are big rivers over there in the days of when the locusts came about Egypt, upon Egypt in Makat Arbe. It came from Kush. What are the sounds that are going to be? In other words, it's like sounds are being heard at the other side of the world. What are the sounds that are going to be heard? So he says, Hasholeach Bayam Tzivim. That Kush. On the sea they send Tzivim. A Tzir is a messenger. By water they send messengers. Ubichle gome al pnei mayim. And they have boats of gome wood that go upon the waters. What about them? These tzirim, where are they to go? And what are they to say? In other words, he's describing messengers that are going to go through the world. And they're going to bring some important message to the people of the world. And he's describing like a Yene Ekvelt, the other side of the world. They're going to be messengers who are going to go through the seas. They're going to go on boats of Gomer. Lechu malachim kalim. Go, you light-footed messengers. A malach is like a tzir. What are they supposed to say? What they're supposed to say is the following. They're going to bring a message, El Goy, to a nation, Mimushach Umorat, tall, Mimushach, you know, long, tall, and Morat means sort of the face is shining or red. In other words, we're talking about, African kind of people. El Am Nora Minhu Vahala. they're going to bring the message to a fearsome people, min uvahola, from that place on and further. Goy kav kav umavusa, a nation that is measured. Kav kav, you know, is a sort of a line that that defines a people. Umavusa, we're talking about a nation that the word mavusa we had before. Mavusa means a nation that destroys its enemies. Asher bazhu naharim arzo. You're going to get, the picture is going to become clearer. It may be a little fuzzy right now, but it's going to become clearer. You're going to go to a nation, asher bazhu naharim arzo, that rivers break through his land. Now, the only picture that you should have right now is that there's a lot of activity around the world. There are people who, messengers who are moving from one country to the next. They are going through, across rivers, across seas. They're going to different nations of the world. And there's going to be a message that all of this activity, the flurry of activity through the world, Mefuad, Megait, Megimt, and the message that they're going to be is the following. Kol Yoshvei Tevel, all those who inhabit the earth, who live on the face of this earth, the Shochnei Eretz, and those who dwell in the land. The message is to everybody. You're going to have to tell me where this pasuk appears. Kinso Neis Harim Tiru, when the banner is going to be lifted upon the mountains, you will see. And when the shofar is sounded, you will hear. Where is this pasuk? Huh? No. Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Because there's going to be a great message, and that great message is going to be preceded by the sound of the shofar. There's a lot of activity around the world. People are moving, and call. You'll see right away, what is this message that the whole world, Shochnei Eretz, Yoshvei Tevel, the whole world, they're going to see the great banner. Ki ko amar Hashem Eli, so Hashem has said to me, Eshkota va'abita b'mechoni k'chom tzach alei or ka'ov tal b'chom katzir. What he's going to describe now is the words of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about himself. He describes himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is describing himself as a mighty warrior, and therefore he says, "Eshkotar, I'll be quiet, peaceful, va'abitov b'mechoni." And I'm going to look around my place. I'm going to see everybody who is here. Kechom tzach alei or, like the clear heat. Alei or, when there's light, sun shining, and there is chom tzach. There's a very clear kind of heat. Now the sun is beating down. And this is the kind of time that people, you know, where people would like to be? People like to be indoors. Kechon tzach aleor, ka'ov tal. What? Ka'ov tal, bechon katsir. In the heat of the hot time of harvest, it's hot. Chom katsir. And you know, sometimes what happens, and we have this between Pesach and Shavuos, which is harvest time, there comes a rain comes. Of is a cloud with dew that brings down refreshing waters. Chom katsir on a hot day during the period of the harvest. What's going to why is this mighty one Why is he quiet? Eshkota means like there's nothing to do, he's quiet. And he's going to look around. What is it? Why is he quiet and why is he looking around? And the reason we're going to see is because the decision has already been taken on high by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to destroy his enemies, the enemies of Israel. Ki lifnei kotzir, before the harvest, ketam perach, when the flower is finished. What happens when the flowers come off a tree? The flowers are when, the fruit begins. The flowers fall, ketam perach, the flower ends, and then what you have is the beginning of fruits. Uboser, gomel, yihyeh, nitzah. Boser, gomel, boser is a fruit that is not yet ripe. Gomel, but it's growing. Yihyeh nitzah. Nitzah is the, it's attached to the tree with a, the stem. In other words, he's the same kind of imagery that he used in the chapter before, which was harvest time. But in English they talk about the grim reaper. Death is the grim reaper. You know, death is described as the one who comes with the scythe. In the last chapter we were talking about Aram, and the gathering of the harvest, the grim reaper. It's just as the flowers have fallen, the fruit is beginning to come. V'chorat havalzalim b'maz meidot. He is going to cut. Then he's going to cut the zalzalim. Zalzalim are the branches that are not laden with fruit. That will come first. V'chorat havalzalim b'maz meidot. He's going to cut the branches, as I say, without fruit. With the mazmerot, with the scythe, or whatever is used to cut it, the et hanetishot, heisir, heitaz, netishot. Netishot represent, it means the branches that are spreading out with a great deal of fruit. Heisir, he removed, heitaz, he has chopped and cut down. What happens over here is the following. You know, the time of harvest is close, and God is the great one who's now, the time has come to act. He looks around and he sees now is the time that has been destined for the destruction of the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are the enemies of Israel. Ye'ozvu yahadav, together they will all be left. In other words, the zalzalim, the branches that didn't bear fruit, the netishot, those that did have fruit, yeyozu, that will be left, yachtov, together, le'eit harim. Eit harim is it's a bird. A bird of prey upon the mountains. How does the English describe? What? Ravenous birds. So they didn't... the predator, yes, so they didn't give a specific name. Where do you have the word ayat? Sorry, this is twice in one day. By the Brisbane Absohim, Avram Avinu cut the animals in half. Vayeded ha ayat al ha. It describes that in the middle of this vision, the ravenous bird came down upon it. The ravenous bird really describes the nations of the world that are going to be the birds of prey who come down upon the people of Israel. Now it's the enemies of Israel who are going to be left out there for the ravenous birds of the mountain. They will be left out there for the animals of the earth. The kots olav ha'ayit. V'chol behemat ha'aretz olav techerof. Kutz comes from the word kayitz, summer. The ravenous birds are going to eat away at them during the summer. The chol behemat ha'aretz and all of the animals of the field, olav techeraf, will be upon him during the winter from choref. In other words, there's a description of many lying out there dead, and you know, after the battle, then come the ravenous birds to take it all apart. And we're talking about many, many who are going to be destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes?
The rest of
the Bnei
Israel, the other two tribes that are left, have they done tshuva, or it's irrelevant as to what status
they're in? Totally irrelevant to the picture right now. Right now, I'm answering you. In other words, chapter 17, we're now in 18. Chapter 17 started with what, you know, if we go back to 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, what's going to happen to all of the nations of the world, of the ancient world. We're talking now about the nations of the world in the modern period of time, long after all of that. In other words, because remember, we pointed out, I believe, a number of times, what do I care today what happened to Bavel? What difference does it make to me what happened to Moab? Do I care about Aram? Why do I need to know what Yeshayahu told us about the nations of the ancient world that were destroyed and disappeared from the scene of history? Only because of one reason. Because history is going to repeat itself. In this chapter, we're talking about the repetition of history. That it will, because we're talking here already about Bayom Ahu, on that day. What's going to happen in the morning? What's going to be true at evening time, and what we will experience before dawn the next day. We're talking about what's going to happen bizmanenu, or at some time bimehena, to those nations. Listen, there are nations that have not yet suffered for what they did to the Jewish people. We can list a whole bunch of them. I don't believe that the nations of Europe have paid for what they did to Jews for 1,000 years. What are you talking about? And it continues till today. Our worst enemies today are the European community. The European community. They should be ashamed of themselves. Jews who wrote about the a Jewish community in Poland that in 1941 the Poles, in one day, killed the entire city. The Poles, not the Germans. And they tried to hide it for the last 60 years. Because they didn't want anybody to think that Poles took an entire city of Jews and put them in a barn and burned it down. But you think that Europe has paid for what it did to Jews compared to what we contributed in all those years? Now we're talking about the Bayom Ahu. And when that... Once we describe what happens by Yom Ha'u, we're also describing that there are messengers going throughout the world bringing the message of what's happening to the enemies of Israel. Watch. We're painting the whole picture here, and you need every part of the picture. Ba'et ahi yuvav shai la'Hashem tzakot. At that time, you know what's going to happen at that time? Yuvav shai. A gift is going to be brought. The nations of the world are going to bring a gift to God in order to express that they see the might and the greatness of God by the fact that his enemies have been destroyed, and it's going to come from Am Memushach Umorat,
Umeam Nora Minhu Vahola Goi Kav Kav Uza. This is a repetition of precisely the exact same description that was given given earlier.
Oh, these are the same people.
The same people
had divided and strengthened each one his portion of land.
Now these same people, and you know, it can be a people. By the way, there are some who hold that this memushach umodat is really the Jewish people. And in a sense, what it describes is a people that has suffered terribly. But I will come to that in a moment. But whatever it is, we have the exact same repetition of an am memushach umorat. So the pshat that we were learning is it's some people out there who from the other end of the world. In other words, from the very ends of the world, there are people who are going to come and they're going to bring a shai, a gift. That's where the word shai comes from. We use it, it's used quite a bit in modern Hebrew. Yuval shai l'Hashem tzakot am mushach umarat. Umeam nora minhu v'hala. In other words, long people, tall people, red-faced people, an awesome people, minhu v'hala, out there at the very end of the world. Goy kav kav umavusa, a people measured and mavusa broken. Asher bazuna harim artzol, that the rivers have crossed through their land. They're going to come from all sides of the world. El mikom shem Hashem tzakot har tzion. Now the simple meaning is we're really going back to what Yeshayahu said. That v'holchu amim rabim, many nations are going to go, and they will say l'chu v'na'aleh, let us go up el har Hashem Elokei Tzvakot. The nations of the world are going to come to Yerushalayim, and here it says that there's going to be a gift. They're going to bring sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of these nations, all sorts of different nations, all over from all parts of the world, they're going to come where el mekom shem Hashem Tzvakot har Tzion. They're going to come to the place that God's name rests there, and that place is Har Tzion. There's going to be worldwide recognition, number one, that the punishment that was brought upon the evil was the work of Hashem Tzvakot. And they're also going to know the second and maybe more important thing, that where does this Hashem Tzvakot dwell? He dwells in Har Tzion. Let's go a little further. We're going to the picture is nearly complete. Maso Mitzrayim. We started the Masaot. We started with the punishment of the nations of the world. Now we have Maso Mitzrayim, and there's going to be an important prophecy that's going to be part of Maso Mitzrayim. The vision of Mitzrayim. Hinei Hashem rochev al ov kal. God is going to ride upon a light cloud. Uba Mitzrayim, and he comes to Mitzrayim. Time has come for Egypt to pay. The Noelilei Mitzrayim Ipanav, the deities of Mitzrayim are going to move or shake Nipanav. Before we had the word Nade from Nod. Nou is from the first part. Na the Nod, to move. Ulevav Mitzrayim Imaz Bekirbo, and the heart of Egypt is going to melt within him. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. Here, what's unique about the punishment of Mitzrayim? Their punishment is going to be internal strife. They're going to destroy each other from within. By the way, today's Mitzrayim are not the best friends of the Jewish people. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. I'm going to cause strife of Mitzrayim against Mitzrayim. Benilchamu ish biyachiv, they're going to wage war, man and his brother, the ish bereyehu, and the man against his friend, ir biir, mamlacha b'mamlacha, a city against a city, one kingdom or one state or one part of the country against the other part of the country. The nov kol ruach Mitzrayim bikirbo, and the spirit of Egypt is going to be empty. Nov kol, is a word we're going to have later on when we get there, chapter 22. Mevuka ubeluka is emptiness. The spirit of Mitzrayim is going to be empty. Vatzato avaleya, and I will destroy, or I will break, or I will frustrate Atzato, his counsel. Atzato always means a plan, a concept, an idea. V'dorshu el ha'elilim ve'el ha'itim ve'el ha'ovot ve'el ha'yidonim, and they're going to seek counsel and advice, because they're going to lose their own wisdom. So what are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to deities. They're going to turn to itim. Itim are the spirit of the dead. El ha'ovot ve'el ha'yidonim. These are also, Torah says, there shall not be ov and yidoni. Ov and yidoni are different ways whereby they use the bone of the dead that would speak. You know, a Sion,
Sion, yes.
Because they're not going to know what to do themselves. They're going to have to turn in all sorts of directions in order to find guidance and counsel. V'sikarti et Mitzrayim, and I'm going to give over Egypt v'yad, I will transfer them v'yad adonim kasha into the hands of difficult masters. U'melech az yimshol bam, and a strong, and az is more than strong, a king with great chutzpah is going to rule over them. Ne'um ha'adon Hashem tzakot, so says the Master, the God of hosts. V'nishtu mayim mehayam v'nohor yecharav yavesh. The classic description of the destruction of Mitzrayim is always related to the Nile. In other words, when you say that the water is removed from Egypt, or the river is dry, then you're describing the destruction of Mitzrayim. V'nishtu mayim mehayam. The waters of the sea will be dried, or will be removed. The Nohar Yecherav V'yavesh, and the river is going to be destroyed and dried. V'he'ez Nichu Naharot, the rivers are going to be emptied. Zanoach means something that was originally there, it's gone. What it means is there aren't going to be any boats. Ships are not going to ply the rivers of Mitzrayim. V'hez nichu naharot. Dolalu v'charvu ya'orei matzar. Dolalu, also empty, they went down. We had the word dal before yidal, going down. Charvu, dry, ya'orei matzar. The rivers or the swamps that are used as protection. Matzor means that which is used as a protection from the enemy. A matzor, a siege. Ya'orei matzor, the rivers of siege, are rivers that they sometimes would make even artificial rivers, or a moat. So that the enemy will have, you know, a geographic force against them, so that they have to cross a river or a body of water in order to attack. All of that is going to be dry, which means that Mitzrayim is open to the onslaught of the enemy. Konevosuf kamelu. It's so beautiful how he uses the imagery of water. What grows in the water? Kone vosuf. Where was Moshe placed? In the basket. He was placed in the suf. Kone are the reeds, and suf is another kind of growth that comes out of the river Komelu. They've withered away. If everything's dry, no water. Mitzrayim without water is not Mitzrayim. So therefore, the description of the destruction of Mitzrayim is that it dries up. Yes?
Is
It's precisely that word. What's unusual over here is there's an aleph, and the Mefarshim say there are different places that an aleph or a letter is put in for some kind of poetic reasons. Musnach. The rivers are going to be neglected. Neglected, so you lose it. What does a river have to lose? The only thing a river has to lose is the water. Orot al yor, al pi yor. Orot means that which is open or naked, gilui arayot. Orot al yor, the river is going to be naked. Nothing, there's nothing there. Orot al yor, the land is going to be open. Because remember, there's no water. All of the vegetation, at the end of the pasuk, it told us the vegetation of the Yor is going to dry up, kama vasuf kamelu. So therefore, the Yor is going to be naked, al pi Yor, even on the banks of the river. V'chol mizra Yor, whatever grows from the word zera, anything that grows in the Yor, not only the kama vasuf are going to dry up and die. Anything that grows from the Yor, Yivash, Nidaf, Ve'enenu, dries up, blows away, gone, Ve'enenu, and it's no longer there. We had another pasuk earlier today that ended with the word Ve'enenu, also where something blew away. Huh? Where did we have that? V'hinei balaha betedem poked einenu. Gone. See here, everything. The water is gone. The boats are gone from the river. There, nothing is growing, neither the koneh nor the suf. So you know. So what else happens? If there's no water, the fish are gone. If the fish are gone, so what are the fishermen going to do? Nothing. V'onu hadayogim. The fishermen are going to cry, v'avlu, and they're going to be in mourning, or it really means in pain. And there are all sorts of different ways to fish. Kol mashlichei b'yor chaka. There are those who throw into the river a chaka, a net, uforse michmoret al pnei mayim umlolu, and those who the chaka is really like a what do they fish with? A hook. The chaka is the hook, right? The michmoret is the
bait.
No, that's the net. The michmoret is the net, the chaka. So kol mashlichei b'yor chaka, and you see the way the Navi uses the words. One is thrown into the river, and one is spread out over the river. What do you spread out over the river? The net is spread out over the river. What do you throw into the river? What does a fisherman throw? I never did it, but we know. Cast the line. That's it. Very good. That's the third. Good. You used to go fishing? Never told me that. You never told me. Yeah. Oh, God. That you didn't have to tell me. V'onu hata yogim v'ovlu kol mashlichei b'yor chaka, those who throw it out into the river, uporsei michmoret, those who spread out the net, al pnei mayim umlolu, they are unfortunate, or they are destroyed, or they are cut. So now, what else does this affect? If nothing is growing, what else does Egypt do? What else does Egypt provide? What kind of business? Huh? Uboshu ovdei pishtim sidikot v'orgim choroi. In other words, they would use flax, linen, and they would make all sorts of things. That's all gone. There's no river.
There's no fishing. There's nothing growing. So, Ov, they fished him, those who work. We fished him. Sidikot. Sidikot means they clean and they comb. And they comb it, remove the impurities for Orgim, and then they embroider or they weave choroi, that which has holes in it. They make all sorts of or it also means fine linen. The whole economy of its time is gone.
They make the fish net. And now they don't have
that. Now they don't have that. Nothing left. There's nothing left. V'hayu shototeha medukaim kol osei secher agmei nafesh. Shototeha is the foundations, yisodoteha shel Mitzrayim. The foundations of Mitzrayim are going to be shattered. It may, someone of course say, means, you know, that everything is a beginning. I'm afraid to talk about it, but it seems like buildings are going to collapse. It's going to be so dry, and the foundations are not going to hold. The foundations are simply not going to hold in the ground. They're going to sink. They're going to collapse. Huh? Yeah, but that's what it comes. That's what it comes from. Shattered, dika'on. Kol osei secher. What other business will no longer be able? Will be able to be done in the time. What else? Osei secher, those who make, huh? No. Secher. And there's a word in, it's in Chumash too, huh? Dams. Where do you have it in Chumash? There is a pasuk like that. Well, I'll give you a hint. But I don't want to say what President Hoover was it, or Harding? What did he say? When he saw that the Columbia River was just overflowing, he said, "Damn it." Right? That's the Hoover Dam. Who else? Colorado. All right? Vayisochru mayinot to home. What happens in... who's the first one who makes a dam? The Rebbeim who closes the waters of the Vayisochru mayinot to home. Huh? Right? It says it there. Doesn't it say that? Vayisochru. Huh? They quoted there? Oh, God. I forgot that it's right. Okay, by yourself. Good. I don't have my right. No. By the marble. Then he closed up. By yourself, with my note to home. So, V'hoyim shatotehom medukaim kol osei secher agmei nafesh. Interesting. What's an agam? An agam is a river, a lake, a pond. Yeah, not a river. A lake or a pond. What will be destroyed are the lakes in which they would grow, so to speak, grow fish. We're talking, huh? To water their livestock? On which passage does he say that? What it means is in which there were living beings, water in which there was living beings. But what do we have over here? We have a description of the destruction of Mitzrayim. And the metaphor that's used for the destruction of Mitzrayim is all related to the water and the river. And it means, of course, what the Navi said at the beginning, that the destruction of Mitzrayim is going to be from within. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim v'Mitzrayim v'yumilchamim ish b'yachiv v'ish b'dayehu. There's going to be an inner turmoil that is going to destroy Mitzrayim. Achavil, one more pasuk and we'll leave the rest. But the psukim are amazing here. Ach evilim sorei tzoan chachme yoatzei faro eitzon yivoro eich tomru el paro ben chachomim ani ben malcheker. I'm going to leave it now. This is all related to the psukim that are coming afterward. There's no wisdom left. We're going to see the extent to which no wisdom is left in this life. Okay.
How is this? She wants to know how this is going to happen exactly and when this is going to happen exactly. Yeah.